As people go out to do their holiday shopping, they're noticing something.
Times are tough and, you know, prices are rising.
Eggs is one thing that I've noticed has gone up a lot.
Fruit, especially fruit.
And they're changing how they shop.
I've cut way back on a lot of stuff that were not really needs but wants.
Because we have a big family, instead of getting by bulk how we used to get, we can't really do that anymore. So we just cut down on the number of items we purchase.
It'll be a little thinner for Christmas, but I probably won't cut back on the grandkids, but I'll cut back on everybody else.
To save money, it's not just what shoppers are buying, it's also where they're buying it. Those shoppers you just heard, they were all at Walmart, drawn in part by the low prices. Our colleague Sarah Nassauer covers the company.
You know, their core customer is lower and middle income, but most people shop at Walmart at least sometimes in some situations. And so because of that and just their massive scale, you can get a good sense of what's going on with American shoppers if you look at Walmart.
And right now, Walmart says consumers are stretched and will be well into next year. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, November 22nd. Coming up on the show, what Walmart's aisles tell us about the American consumer.
Life is a series of moments. Make the most of them with an Edward Jones financial advisor. Whether you're planning the trip of a lifetime, retirement, or just need some everyday advice, life is for living. Let's partner for all of it. Learn more at edwardjones.com.
So why is looking at Walmart a good way to understand the story of retail this year?
Walmart is huge, and a lot of people shop there. You can buy your lettuce. You can also buy a vacuum cleaner or socks and children's toys and, like, fabric that you can use to sew things. And they have this low-price image. It's, you know, it's real. You can find low prices at Walmart, but it's also something they have honed as their image for literally decades.
And if you looked at Walmart, at the start of the year, the American consumer was doing pretty well. Spending at its stores was up, and people had stimulus dollars in their bank accounts. But as inflation picked up speed, Walmart saw shoppers pull back, and it had to react.
Earlier this year, in the spring, Walmart changed all of its summer marketing messages to a value message. They had a marketing plan to do things like promote sort of new clothing lines and sort of stylish things that they were selling. And they scrapped those ads and went with a value message, you know, come here to save money.
Right now, every day seems to get more and more expensive. That's why Walmart has everyday low prices.
And I remember that because for me, that was a little bit of the canary in the coal mine.
Through the summer, inflation kept soaring and consumers were getting hammered. Sarah says those factors affected Walmart's outlook on its recent earnings call.
It wasn't a cheery tone on the consumer for next year. They were clearly said over and over again, we're being cautious. We're being cautious with how we buy some of the categories that people are buying less of. We're being cautious on how we plan for people's ability to keep spending.
And what did this report show you about how inflation is affecting consumer spending?
Walmart executives talked about how they see evidence that people were still benefiting earlier in the year from stimulus dollars, that they're now starting to eat through savings, they talked about, right? So this moment where you might splash out and buy something is disappearing because the savings are starting to dry up. So this cumulative effect of inflation is starting to have an impact on a wider group of people.
That seems like it's a bad sign for the economy.
I think it's a bad sign for people. Right? That doesn't feel good. None of us like feeling like we can't buy the things that we want.
Did they talk about whether prices will keep going up?
They didn't think that inflation would recede quickly. They talked about it being particularly sticky right now in food. They said, you know, in some categories, there's signs that prices are coming down, but they didn't see it as a sort of kind of a fast receding phenomenon. And they talked a lot about people coming to them now looking for a deal.
And you said that Walmart executives weren't cheery on the call. When you speak with shoppers, how do they sound?
It's a mixed bag. You know, I think these things are so different depending on income level, obviously. And being, you know, a little bit cautious about next year. And for low-income folks, the last 9 months have been really, really brutal. Their ability to pay for what they need every week and every day has been challenged. So I hear a lot of overall sort of cautiousness.
And Walmart executives say that cautiousness also extends to higher income shoppers who have started going to their stores more.
It's the needs versus wants thing, right? People have to spend on needs when they can, and people are spending a lot more on needs. Food is expensive, gas is still expensive. And so they're buying those things, but they're buying a lot less patio furniture, toasters, you know, accent pillows.
Yeah, I haven't bought an accent pillow in a while.
I admit that I've bought many.
Recently?
Yeah, because I've moved recently. I needed accent pillows. It moved over into the need column, Kate.
And is Walmart doing better than its competitors?
As of last week, when we saw earnings from Walmart and Target, yeah, they're doing better. Target sales didn't go up as much, and they had to cut their profit estimates for the year. And they talked a lot about this discretionary spending pullback and how that's affecting them. Target doesn't rely on groceries for as large a percentage of its sales. So
too many accent pillows.
A lot of accent pillows there, and we're buying less of those.
But to continue appealing to a cost-conscious consumer, Walmart will have to keep its prices low. How it's doing that is after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Walmart executives are grappling with the expectation that consumer spending will be weak well into next year. And they're telling their suppliers to get ready for tighter times.
So last month in October, Walmart and Sam's Club, which is their warehouse chain, hosted a meeting for suppliers. So at this meeting, Doug McMillon, who's the CEO of Walmart Inc., spoke to Sam's Club suppliers, and one of his big messages this year was, we are going to expect lower prices. And it struck some in the audience as, you know, the tone had changed. Over the last few years, it's not been a time of discounting. And there really have been cost increases when it comes to how much it costs to make, you know, a widget. And so retailers, including Walmart, have been willing to say, yep, we'll accept that price increase. That makes sense. It was a little bit of a signal as he's standing up on stage that we're going to expect something different.
Can you describe to me, like, how they negotiate with their suppliers? I mean, do they break out the boxing gloves, or is it more like in a hotel room?
Not a hotel, because that would cost money, Kate, and you don't want to spend money on things you don't need to at Walmart. But there are at Walmart, if you go to headquarters, which is still the original headquarters, which is sort of looks like this low-slung warehouse with nearly no windows, and that is the headquarters of the country's largest company by revenue. There is a strip of little conference rooms in the front of that office that, you're beyond security, but not fully into the office. And there are these little 10 by 10 rooms, and that is where some of the lower level supplier meetings take place. And, you know, some of this is just like functional, right? Like, don't come into the office and see what we're up to because you're an outsider and we're going to have these meeting rooms on the outside. But I think some of it is also this message, right, to the supplier that we're so low cost that this is where we're having this meeting.
As the country's biggest retailer, Walmart has long had a reputation for flexing its muscles with suppliers. One supplier that has really felt that this year is a company called Newell. It's based in Atlanta, and it makes a lot of things you've heard of. Rubbermaid containers, Sharpies, Mr. Coffee, ball jars, Elmer's glue, those scented Yankee candles. You get the point.
So Newell is a company that happens to be at the receiving end of Walmart really slowing down orders on discretionary items, right? Things that Walmart wanted a ton of last year when we were all buying them, they don't want anymore. We're not buying coffee machines at the same pace. And so
I'm sorry, coffee is in the need category.
But did you already buy a coffee machine, over the last 2 years to upgrade your coffee experience?
Yes, I don't need a Mr. Coffee machine. I'm all set. But I just want to say I feel like it shouldn't fall in discretionary.
I hear you on that.
But what does fall into the discretionary category? Things like candles and Rubbermaid containers and ball jars. Earlier this year, Walmart abruptly pulled back on orders for many items. And that's putting pressure on Newell, which gets 15% of its total revenue from Walmart.
And now the company is in a position where they're dramatically pulling back their own orders, considering furloughs, and just struggling with the whiplash, right? It's so different, and it happens so quickly.
And can't Newell just go to a different big box retailer?
You know, they want to keep selling at Walmart long term, so they don't see this as a one-year relationship.
It's a marriage. It's not dating.
It's a marriage. It's a marriage.
And so what does that say to you? You have Walmart responding to consumer demand, taking it out on the supplier, and now the supplier is having to make layoffs and cut production.
I think it shows exactly how Walmart is connected to so many other parts of the world and the business world. If prices are falling, in a large scale way, that's going to have some ripple effects, and that will, change how companies interact with their employees and lots of other things. It's going to be painful, right? That process of slowing the economy down is painful on a human level, on a collective level, and it is a business. You're navigating something different once that starts to happen.
And what did they say about the holidays in particular, which is a big time of year for them?
They're not predicting it to be a huge booming success. They think it will be successful for them, but they don't think it's going to be a time of, loose spending and everyone's going to feel flush. That's not how they're talking about it. They're talking about needing to discount a lot.
So does that mean that the sort of consumer spending engine of the U.S. economy won't bounce back quickly?
Yes, that is Walmart executives' belief, is this is not going to be a fast recovery when it comes to consumer spending. And they're not planning for that. And they believe that they're going to have to deal with a consumer that has this value, I need to save money mindset for a while.
That's all for today, Tuesday, November 22nd. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Sharon Turlip. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.